Get it done, please.
Okay. Done.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this is difficult. First of all, it is true, sitting on our lab, that we took votes. We took, in my judgment, in a sense, straw votes. I don't think anyone on the lab actually relinquished their independent thought and felt that they were locked in.
We were trying to send a message.
Yeah, we were. And I actually feel strongly that in the rocky road toward bylaws, many of us had a vision of the perfect bylaws. We did not know, I think, the long, long process it would become. And some of us also have developed some concerns around agendas in the foundation and around the network, and wondering if basically the commitment to elections and to democratizing the network and our signal area isn't the thing to do right now. Many of you know that I signed on to the recent statement around B, not because I lack a commitment to diversity, but I'm concerned about A because the process of using demographics, the census tract, I see this as a very long process, possibly months, to determine what are the actual figures in the signal area, which goes from Santa Barbara to the Mexican border and from the Pacific Ocean to the high desert. And I believe that our listeners are telling us, I certainly get the communications, and I get it from lab meetings, elections, elections. Let's get the interim Pacifica National Board out. I think it's poisoned. I think it's more than ineffective. I think it's dysfunctional, and I don't think it's serving our foundation at this time. Yes, it is true that B is not, they are not perfect bylaws. But I think to carry this on for months and months more, we run the risk of going back into the courts, possibly as a dysfunctional foundation where we lose control of our own destiny. Much of the pressure on us around going toward elections as quickly as possible does not come from outside. It doesn't come from outside the community of Pacifica and so on. It comes from inside because we're losing, I believe, some of our listener sponsors are totally losing confidence in the process. I would also say that the concept that our local boards will be elevated up to the national board does speak to the issue of democracy, and it is a very strong move forward that the national board will be really a board made up of people from the various signal areas. I don't know, this may not be a real issue, but I'm concerned about the committees of inclusion, how they would actually work and how they would really make their decisions. Some of the issues of diversity are difficult, ethnicity and race. I mean, certainly if the census shows that Asians are highly underrepresented on our lab, then does the Committee of Inclusion decide which communities, which Asian communities will take those boards and so on? That is to say, there are a lot of questions over, I hope this is correct, Luis, I don't want to offend, but let's say in the community, the Spanish-speaking community, in the Spanish-speaking community, if that Spanish-speaking community is underrepresentative, then does the Committee of Inclusion determine whether it's the Mexicano community or the Salvadoreños or the Argentinians or the Cubans? I mean, there are so many questions about the Committee of Inclusion that I have. Also, how is the analysis of the census and demographics going to be carried on so that everyone is satisfied that the right decisions are made? I see it as a series of contests and conflicts and confrontations that could be really damaging. Not that elected boards eventually, and an elected national board can't eventually deal with that, but I see, okay, I see some of these issues as possibly preventing elected boards for months into the future. And I will just close by saying that it is true that many of us were in the streets during all those years in front of KPFK. We were demanding the things. I think it's a shared vision. And I thought very carefully before I endorsed B. I basically did it because I want to see us go to elected listener boards, and I want to see us go to an elected national board as quickly as possible so that democratization. I'm actually nervous because I find myself in a difficult situation because I have a strong commitment to diversity, but I believe that moving to elections and getting elected boards that are accountable to the listeners is very, very important now.
I have just a quick question. Mm-hmm. So I understand that letter. Are those people saying we're for Plan B or Plan A, and we're also for the rest of the bylaws, or are they just talking about Plan A and Plan B? I'm a little confused there.
Plan A and B. Yeah.
I don't understand the question. Have you read?
Right, but the only real change is that section on diversity.
Yeah. Can I answer that real quick in one sentence?
Go ahead.
Those who are supporting Plan B, the bylaws are the bylaws, there are, whether it's Plan A or Plan B, it's the diversity section that where there is a difference. And so those who are for Plan B are supporting Plan B. But they want the adoption. Most of those, and not all of them, want the adoption of the bylaws, flawed as they are, which we know they are, and we want to fight for a convention and to make sure the bylaws are massaged, fine-tuned, and changed a year to 18 months later without delay. And that meantime, we work on those changes before the convention so that we are prepared. That is what the position of most of those who are supporting B is. Yes, to support all the bylaws, right, with B as the...
Okay, if you can get those things passed.
Do we have a 3-minute break to stretch?
Yeah,
Jill?
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
If anybody else playing is still working, how about 2 minutes?
I'd like to recommend 90 seconds.
Carl?
And I question your motive.
Carl, can you make it so we beep so we come back as one side?
In 3 minutes?
Yeah. No, make it two.
2 minutes. So I'm up for 90 seconds.
Okay, we'll compromise on two.
By the way, I want to thank you all so far, the way you've been comporting yourself. This is a good meeting, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Papa. We're trying hard. I say Papa because he looks like Hemingway.
Just because you don't have any gray hair, smart ass.
Well, if you go to the right drugstore, you can.
Here, we didn't even know you were Greek.
No.
Is it just for men or
Greek?
Well, you're concerned about the demographics process.
The demographics? Okay. So maybe I don't understand it, but it would take an analysis of the demographics of the signal area to determine, is that true? To determine.
Yes. That's perfect, because I don't really know it.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay. So are you going to use census material?
Census plus undercount.
Academic, okay. Governmental organization.
Okay, but you don't include whites in there. It's only the traditionally underrepresented, which is fine. That makes perfect sense to me.
Actually, it doesn't make that distinction.
Pardon me?
It doesn't actually.
Lydia says it does. So
I don't know. I read it so idiotically.
No, it reads what it reads. It says what it says. It says that they're
yeah.
And it ought to be that
the
way.
The point is, the committee is empowered. A group of people are empowered to decide for the election.
But see, I'm not. My concern is time frame. I can see a process in A.
You'll know it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Is this appointed seats really bothers me? Who's going to appoint those seats? I am against appointed seats.
Smooth sailing. I can see 6 to 8 months of trying to figure out.
I put together
singularity.
Who's going to
let these mechanisms?
Oh, you're proposing
such a process. 2 minutes is up.
2 minutes is up.
From Santa Barbara to Mexico.
Our 2 minutes is up, folks.
Okay, so you have that.
And Lou Bell said very clearly
so
he had so many caveats in his ruling for A. If you read his rulings, he's saying, it's got some problems, it's got some legal problems. Maybe nobody will notice. That's basically what he's saying.
So what percentage, well, you mean
their lawyer.
But we were all told by the corporation for Colin Bryant.
Shall we cut them? African Americans fair when you use
straight the previous San Diego bylaws of the corporation.
Do you think
it didn't have to be upheld either?
And I bring it up by the groups of the census, and I added Iranians.
Well, as far as CBB, as far as I'm concerned, it's going to be weaned off of it as fast as we can get off of it. I'm not going to do anything about it. So I have nothing nice to say about I was in the station, and I know it was the cause of the whole damn problem to begin with.
All right, folks, let's get it together. Let's get it together.
2 minutes is up. In the meetings with a healthy station crap.
Yeah, because I
I
actually saw that as a much more.
We're starting the meeting again, folks. As of now.
John's got Marie. But
who's next up?
No. John!
Who's next up?
John!
Who's next up?
Please shut the door. Thank you.
Well, the decision seemed to have been based on the urgency, Don, and then, but the only reason you chose the B over the A.
John!
Was the door.
Oh, no.
I'd like to request that Luis be allowed to start up.
Can we open the door?
Start the meeting.
Shut the door.
Okay, I don't see the two issues connected, elections and which bylaws you prefer. If the concern is to show progress to the judge and we move through the elections and then somehow postpone the decision on A or B, I think that would help get the extension. In terms of the preference between A and B, of course, my preference is A. I don't believe that B, it's good language, but I don't believe it's strong in the sense that it has no mechanism to make sure that diversity is achieved. There is a concern, I have a concern too, as to how the committees of inclusion, the members were selected, especially if they were selected by this interim board. But those problems, and the other problem Farrah has about including her communities, these are problems that can't be worked out given more time. And if we have elections and then we have a new board, that may also add more legitimacy to the committees of inclusions once they are chosen.
We're not talking about a new board. We're talking about the new lab.
Yes,
and
eventually leading to the national election as well.
And the issue of process, how much process determines the decision of the committees of inclusion is also relevant.
Yes.
Right.
Are you open to questions now? Are you done with your comment?
Yeah.
If you don't trust the current electorate, then by what mechanism do you think the election should get run? And if you were concerned about the elected board having more legitimacy to choose a committee of inclusion, if you're going to include that mechanism in this vote, then you still have the same problem, don't you?
Yeah, no, I wasn't thinking of including them in this vote. The outreach is going to be crucial in terms of how the electorate is going to turn out if they're going to actually vote. Chicago County communities of color were definitely underrepresented in that sense because the station itself has not reached out to those communities. So we need a period of time to have as good of an outreach effort as we can to make sure the electorate is diverse. And I agree with
that. Just a comment about how these mechanisms can work. I mean, you know, any apparatus we have can be abused or can work. I mean, a lot of it actually depends on how much work we do on our internal process with each other as we're going along with this stuff. the first, what, I guess 6 or 7 years of the Green Party here in California, I was the chair of the Alliance Building Working Group. And several things we had at that time, we had a provision in the state bylaws that was very similar to this proposal, where if there was an imbalance in the makeup of any of the leading committees, extra seats were added on to balance out the discrepancy. And it was really a common sense determination, basically, as to what communities or age groups or what the gender aspect was in terms of making coming to some sense of where the correction needed to take place. But that was a built-in mechanism in the organization. Now, it didn't, and at times, during the first 7 years, there was really often a disproportionate representation on leadership bodies as versus the membership base of the organization, which was actually a positive thing, most people felt. But it didn't fully work because they didn't implement the alliance building program in terms of doing that outreach into communities and actually drawing people into the process.
What Adelson was talking about.
I have a question for you, Louis.
I'm not quite done. But I mean, in a basic sense, and I think you're right, Louise, that if we go ahead and proceed with elections, we can have elections even if we haven't resolved all the bylaws. The KPFA is at what, 3?
Two.
Two and a half,
three,
whatever it is. Again. They've already done it, and some other folks are talking about doing it. We can have elections even if we haven't resolved all of these questions, and it bothers me somewhat that we're feeling so pressed by the difficulties of ironing out our issues with each other that we're willing to stamp something that has some very basic flaws. And I think the amendment process on this is a basic flaw. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's basically what a lot of us were out there in the street fighting to get the network under control of the membership base and the subscribers. That's what it's about. And if we're going to like sign that away because we are tired, which we all are, I have a problem with that. Because we can have elections without that. And in terms of how those mechanisms work, again, like anything else in this, a lot of that is a question of applying common sense and also developing mutually trustful and respectful relations inside this process. That's part of why we keep falling down, because we still don't, you're right, Dave, we just don't basically trust each other.
2 minutes
now.
Left on the recess.
I have a question.
Farrah has a question.
A quick comment for the question.
I have
a quick comment. I got into USC Law Center without having the qualifications, so-called qualifications, and the way USC did it to avoid lawsuits was they added seats to the class, and that's how we were able to get in there. So I know that's a very valid legal way to avoid a lawsuit. So I'm not too concerned about all the, actually I think they're scare tactics about adding seats to the board.
If you do not trust the electorate, yes. How could you trust a very small group of 7 to 15 people to decide for all the electorates, which is called the Committee of Interest?
I did not trust the electorate to give us diversity. I trust the electorate to repeat what's been done in the past, which is the progressive left community of KPFK will be the ones that are in the driver's seat. And now in terms of the committees of inclusion, I don't trust committees that much either myself. But again, if we've, like Kwasi is saying, if we develop a culture where we can mutually respect each other's needs and try to accommodate those needs, I think we can come up with a process to have a fair committee and how they decide this.
Yeah, okay. With regard to producing results and stuff, we have the opportunity with the Interim Programming Council election to actually have an election without diversity requirements, but using STV as a test case. And I think if we use, my theory is that if we use aggressive outreach using the station, as Eva said we can do, and use STV, I think we'll get diverse results. And that should give us all more confidence. Now, if it fails flat, you know, then I'll switch over to Plan A. But I really believe it'll work.
Would you like to switch over Plan A?
No, we still have to schedule the other. We still have to do our local
election. Plan A already has. If you already attain diversity through STV, then Plan A's provisions won't kick in.
Right.
We're adding that. So you've got that with Plan A.
You don't need to switch.
Can I think?
No,
question.
Sorry.
So bad,
I have things to say. I'll stop.
Dave Furtick.
Yeah, a couple of quick things. First of all, the minimum procedure is this. The minimum procedure is 1% of the voters In L.A., that would be about 250 people. You have to get a petition signed by 250 people in Los Angeles.
Excuse me, 1% of the subscribers or 1% of the people who voted in the election?
I'm sorry. So it's just, 1% of the members.
I understand it's about 1,000 people. It's about 1,000.
Nationally, about 1,000. Nationally, it's about 1,000. Locally, it's about 250.
Right.
So it's not huge. I mean, frankly, I think it's quite accessible. There is a dispute as to what issues need to be passed before the listeners, and there's disagreement about that. I just want to point out that technical thing. The committees of inclusion are selected by this fashion. One member of the national board and three members of the local board, unless they're running, in which case then it's done by law. And those four people select 3 to 11 additional ones, as Farrah said, between 7 and 15 ultimately. That's how the community inclusion. But one point that struck me, it is an issue I think is really core. And I don't think it's really something that we should be discussing here because this is a bylaws background, but it's fundamental to a philosophical issue. Listener sponsored or listener run. That is a fair dichotomy. And I am adamantly against listener run radio. I'm adamantly for listener sponsored radio. I'm very adamant about that. Why? Because I think that we need to do more than talk to ourselves. We need to talk to other people. We need, as people interested in investing in an entity like the Pacifica, to spread the word, to create that type of communication and cultural dynamic that opens things up, to hire people to do that job that Pacifica was founded to do instead of have us say, well, we want to control, we want to hear what we want to hear. Well, we know what we want to hear. We can hear that all we want. We're trying to get the word out to other people and hear from them. Hear from people and things that we would not normally bring to ourselves. And that's the key, I think, also of diversity issues. But fundamentally, I think it's an issue. It is true. Listener sponsored versus listener run is a fair dichotomy. And I think it's a debate that needs to happen broadly throughout the network. And it's not happened because people are afraid of it. And I think, furthermore, people are afraid of the bylaws. And there's a reason why we have spent damn near 2 years on this crap. And I think one of the reasons is everyone is afraid. We're all afraid of things becoming totally screwed up. And I think what a lot of people are doing, and I'm not saying people here, I think frankly there's one or two members of the national board that would rather see this whole thing fall apart. And there are certainly a lot of people who think that if you keep the ball in the air long enough, even if you're not the tallest person there, if you keep the ball in the air long enough, you still have a chance to get it. Whereas if you let the ball stop and fall and be played, there's no longer an opportunity to take advantage of it. So I think that's a real problem. And I think, frankly, when you consider the communities of inclusion, the real issue there, the added seats, you're jumping over people that had more votes, A, and B, you're discounting the voters' votes. And that's where the legal issue is. It's not about damage, it's a matter of rights. And, I have not found any cogent legal analysis supporting the issue of COI. But I'm proposing a model myself, which has a candidate pool, keeping the candidate pool open, and which has a strong focus of the COIs, such as is in version A, that does not have the added seats, the jumping over, the discounting of votes.
Thank you, Dick.
Okay, I guess I'm up. Okay. In terms of the issue of demographics, this has been discussed somewhat already. There's a dichotomy between the people who are in our listening audience and the people who are in the signal area. And one solution to that discrepancy that exists in this area, I think we still, at least we started out as largely, heavily favoring the white liberal community because of the people who were running the station before the legal settlement. And we've been moving gradually, I think, in a more positive, progressive direction since then, but still the listening audience lags behind the demographic of the station, of the signal area, in terms of diversity. So what you have is a feedback loop where if you put elections into place under these circumstances, where you have this discrepancy, then the people who are in the listenership, who support the station financially, will elect boards that will still be largely slanted toward the white community. And then those largely white boards will produce programming that is slanted toward the existing listening audience. And that listening audience then will, again, elect boards that are like itself. And so there'll be a certain tendency toward a feedback loop there that will favor the existing demographic of our listenership rather than of the signal area. Therefore, that is why I personally support diversity measures that have teeth. I believe it's essential, just as Kwasi said, it's essential that we have measures that forcibly bring the composition of the local boards to a more accurate reflection of the demographic of each listing area. And so that's why I think on that issue we need that. We can't simply have candidate pools that are diverse. That won't do it. You'll get that feedback loop and you'll never get out of that rut. So that's my opinion on that issue. The second major point I'd like to make is that the issue of elitism, democracy in the bylaws, in other words, the people who are most fundamental to when we were going through the legal settlement process, as has been pointed out, a key demand of the thousands, literally thousands of listeners who supported the movement that took back Pacifica, who supported the listeners' lawsuit, who supported the lab lawsuit, was that we have democracy. Part of that was based on an understanding of what can happen if we don't, because of the boards trying to make themselves self-perpetuating, as was discussed and described by Dave Adelson in particular. So what happened is we won those lawsuits, and certain people who were plaintiffs became influential and actually members of the national board and so on. And I believe, this is my personal outlook, that there was a gradual change in the attitude toward democracy with the movement of those people from outsider status to insider status. And I believe that this came from a variety of perspectives. One is fear that the station, that the network would be taken over by outside groups using the democratic process. Legitimate fear. Fear that led these people, I believe, to adapt certain measures that were elitist in their nature. The second thing is, I think some aspect of this is desire to keep control, desire to continue to be in control. When people get so involved in a movement as some of these people have been, it's hard for them to imagine being outside of it,
or even that way.
Lesser. I'm not talking about anyone in particular now. I have people in mind, but I don't assume what he says. Someone I have in mind.
Jabari's a good guy.
So, you know, when people have been in a position of strong association, and when they've given so much of their lives, so much of their sweat, so much of their blood to this movement, they feel like they ought to have some control, and that makes them inherently have a tendency against democracy. And so what we have going on, I believe, is a movement toward elitism, and that's reflected by measures like the continuation of appointed seats in the PMB in the current draft of three appointed seats, where the PMB gets to appoint its own members, which of course was a big issue in the old board. The ability of the PMB to kick off LSP members, as David says, he thinks that's a canard because it's legally required. If it is legally required, we could certainly make it as restrictive as possible. And in fact, we did make it more restrictive in the last IPMB meeting in Los Angeles due to listener demands. That was changed, I believe, from the two-thirds level required to a three-quarters level required. In the current bylaws, there's very irregular first election requirements. Now, every single member of the boards, because we don't have staggering now, we don't have grandfathering of existing people and staggering of election. We do have staggering, but we don't have grandfathering of existing people. So in the first election, every single member of the local boards is going to be elected. That's my understanding.
Huh? No. What are you talking about?
I don't know. That's
not
the name. Everyone's going to be elected at the first election.
Yeah, in the first election.
Of varying lengths of terms. But the existing boards are.
But in the first election, every single member of the board is going to be elected. So that's a critical.
Be up for election is what you're trying to say.
No. They're elected. They're not appointed.
The newly elected board will
all at once. And that represents a real danger to the foundation of takeover right there. Now,
I'm sorry, what was the...
Can we have one speaker on the floor at a time?
Some people are claiming that we should rely on the amendments process and go ahead and pass bylaws that are known to be inadequate and rely on amendments. I'm strongly against that. I think we have to get the bylaws right before we have our elections because we're electing every single person in that first election. Furthermore, the amendment process, as it's currently defined, is very flawed, as has already been pointed out. And that's another reason that we need to have good bylaws right from the start. Therefore, we should not rush into bylaws, and that's the last point that I want
to make. I have a question, Carl. So my question is, you said the more and the longer one works toward democracy, the more they become undemocratic, right? Because you said this board... No, you didn't say this sentence, but you said this board... fought so long for democratizing the world. What?
That's what I'm accusing about. I'm fighting for to get elected. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, well. Because you said this board fought so, these people who are on the current board fought so long for democracy. Now they want their power, so they're undemocratic.
Speaking of power,
are you talking about
Tom of Lydia?
Tom, are you the...
Yeah, let's break down.
Well, your name is Tom. That'll do.
It's Lydia's turn.
Let's put Lydia.
Okay, well, back to Marie's question. I have long been concerned since we started this whole issue of demographics with the fact that we don't know who our own subscriber base is. And by the way, I checked with Mund that we went to see in Mexico. They had set, again, their commercial rate for 1,000 1,000 person sampling, 40-minute interviews, because it's in-depth, as you know, is like $25,000. But of course, that was just to see, because I'm sure that they would share with us a lot of their methodology that we could look at. But I think if you don't have that and you don't factor it in as the average of whatever the committees of inclusion are going to be looking at, they've already said they're going to look at census, they're going to look at organizations like NAACP, MALDEF, university institutions, et cetera, so forth. But nobody, even though I had raised it on one of the calls, is this notion of finding out who our listener base is. And the approach that Dave is talking about, which is that you have to diversify that subscriber base to in the long run, in the shorter long run, to have that democratic and fair process. I also disagree with the notion of having elections before bylaws are passed, because I don't think it's feasible. I mean, I think where do you show the judge that you've made progress if you say, we're going to use the old election thing and we don't have any bylaws at all? So I don't think that we can prove that. I think at that point, this is just an educated guess, that then the judge would, you know, it would go into this whole other unknown in terms called litigation. But anyway, one of the things that I had thought of, however, along those lines, was that we could pass B+. B+ would be Dave's new B, which would include the committees of inclusion diversifying the candidate pool, and perhaps then go to the judge and say, look, we've approved everything else except on this the remedy portion of the elections, the post-electoral portion. So can we use as a remedy, not vote into the bylaws, use as a remedy, KPFA's old 50% model, just as a mechanism. I don't even know if that's feasible. However, that at least that would show progress, because you're saying we passed everything else. We just have the post-electoral remedy portion that might be an option. Something like that shows progress. Just going in and saying, we passed nothing, and we're just going to use the old KPF. You know, I don't think that's feasible. But one of the things that those who are voting for B and verbalizing that their sole reason or their main reason to vote for it is because we need elections and because we need to move on, are going to seriously have to face very soon the possibility that what the IPMB sends us may not be B. It may be A. And then you have to eat your words or change your position and decide whether that was really the reason that you did it. And I'm saying this because we're getting right down to the wire on these issues. My problem with the demographic model right now is that I do believe, in order to do it justice, that it will take several months. Unless you're actually working with it, you can't think of all of the many reasons. What do you do with an adopted person like they have in KPFA who doesn't know what ethnicity is, just as an example? But in terms of like Farrah's question, the fact that we're going to be going to civil rights organizations that do monitor this and do measure, have other things, you don't think that the agency does or
there's
anything?
There's no, because it's others. There's no, none.
Okay, well anyway, so there are a myriad of questions and mechanisms that have not been thought of, and I don't think it's impossible. I think that in 6 months, if we were going to use true demographics, which is not what I believe to be in A right now, then I still think that would take a number of months. Having said that, there is still the issue that we have to decide, I think, and that's a personal decision, is whether we support remedy or not, post-electoral remedy or not. And these are, you know, questions that I think that we can take
later.
Outcome
adjustments.
Right. Outcome adjustments. That's a good one. Because most of us here, I think unanimously, we had voted or close to the KPFA model before. That was an outcome adjustment mechanism before, right? But there's been an awful lot, we've moved on, and there's been an awful lot of polarizing. Some of us, myself included, absolutely agree with Don. I think it's miraculous. I know, you know, Dave, and I wasn't here for his presentation, but, you know, way back when, we were, like, hysterical at the notion that we never had a two-thirds vote as a result of the settlement. I mean, we really thought that this was going to be a horrible period, that every single thing would be this major fight. We got very lucky because we actually have been able to move on, build new structures, and da-da-da-da. So the fact that we're here right now is not only to be expected, but that I thought would happen months ago, so we're actually doing very well. However, this is as far as we're going to get with this board. I am, like, shocked that we got this far. But this is it. And I don't think that there's, you know, whatever that means to anybody, and everybody else is burned out. And so I do think that it's time to move on. There's a whole lot of decisions that have to be made rather quickly, because we don't have the luxury. I do not believe that we have the luxury of just saying, oh, well, we want elections, and, you know, and so we can let the bylaws go. We don't. We have a settlement, you know, here going. We have a court situation going. So we have to be mindful of that as well. That's it.
Could I take privilege here? I just want to respond
to your question.
Yeah, because I think inherent in what Lydia was saying is, I don't know if she meant to do this, but she was suggesting that some of us who have recently signed on to a letter supporting B were doing so in order to scuttle A.
No.
Okay, I just want to clarify that.
I didn't even mention that.
Well, you were saying that if we actually get A back from the IPMB, then we'll be in a real strange situation, because then we'll have to, like, oh my God,
yeah,
we wanted to...
I don't think so.
I'm not talking about the letter. I'm saying that for those who are supporting B,
right.
I don't care, I didn't know you had signed the letter, for example, in terms of that. But anyway, so those who are supporting B, because in order to move expediently, right, I'm saying,
no,
are you going to pass the vote for A?
Okay.
It's because of the legal issues that
and that's what I'm saying.
Sure.
And so
because
what
all
I was asking was that those who are supporting you right now then expand on other reasons for their objections. That's
yes.
All.
Okay. And so if I could just address that.
I don't think so.
I'm sorry. I'm not supporting A at this time because I want to scuttle. I mean, I'm not supporting B.
Okay.
It's because I believed we were close to possible elections. I believed the three labs were getting close to an agreement on B, and that this would help for the democratization.
We heard Tom and Raphael.
Which Tom?
I think it's my turn to speak, actually.
It's not fair enough.
And I might be in a difficult position too, although I don't get the vote, if A should pass, because I like Plan A, but I don't like the bylaws.
Can we have one conversation, please?
Okay.